launching into a surprise attack against the group of six Grothluts and a lone Barbazoo, the heroes slaughtered the lot amongst the pitiful moans and gory explosions of flesh warps and the deadly infernal bleeding of the bearded devil's blade. Once again, the heroes found themselves up against a mysterious barrier of magical force, this one leading to a deep pit below with the mechanisms of an ancient lift. While puzzling about its existence and purpose, Krukka discovered a secret door to another teleportation circle. Reawakening its magic inside, the strange die left behind by Volok responded, and its battery of power was restored again, and another new facet gleamed with power. Moving along, the heroes explored further and found a massive magical door inscribed with a giant pentagram, and another hall where they came face to face with a Zebub. Recognizing Lump, as Velvagander questioned why they were not at their post, and Lump suddenly struck out, and the Zebub was quickly put down, but not before a retinue of Dreshkans revealed themselves and engaged.
Let's talk about something really basic. New Year's resolutions. And how I have never made one ever in my life. In fact, I didn't even know what one was until like my mid-20s. I had never heard of it before.
What?
I had no idea. We're like, what's your New Year's resolution one day? And I was like, what the hell is that? What are you talking about? I had no clue.
Scott, Freeman looks like he lives under a rock, okay?
Well, first of all, yeah, okay, I was going to blame this.
That's only because he does.
I grew up Mormon.
Typical Freeman contrarian activity, which is just very standard for him. But to know that you didn't even know about it?
I had no idea. Also, you're going to hate this one. This is kind of, it's in the same vein, but kind of off topic as well. But I also didn't know who Johnny Cash was until my 20s.
Yeah, I hate that one more, honestly.
Yeah, you're just dumb.
I didn't know who he was until he died.
Yeah, that's kind of unforgivable. Like, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at your friends and family.
It's been fun playing with you all, but I think I have to quit. Like, it's in my contract.
I mean, I'm out. So, when the song Hurt came out, the cover with Johnny Cash.
I didn't
hear it then.
Mm-mm. Jesus Christ. Well, I like how you started this with New Year's resolution banter, and it's going to be entirely shitting on you for not knowing who Johnny Cash was.
I mean, it's just hard to believe.
Like, you thought that was going to be better?
Yeah, this is going to be way better.
When the Joaquin Phoenix movie came out, you just thought it was like a fictional character that he made up?
You thought it was the more serious Dewey Cox, and it was like, why did they kind of like make it so straight-laced?
Yeah. By the time I watched Dewey Cox, I knew what was going on, but...
Wait, so did you watch Dewey Cox like 20 years after it came out too?
I don't know. I don't remember when I first watched it, but I did watch it recently, and it is so funny. It's so good. It holds up.
Were you just like, why is that guy flipping off all those prisoners?
The songs in that film are bangers. They're really well done. Even the ones that are just meant to be like jokes and are funny, they're so well produced and really catchy.
Oh yeah, I mean, John C. Reilly's got some fucking pipes.
Yeah, I also love how you just referred to it as a film, as if it was like at Cannes.
I think you got that from me.
Cinema Nouveau.
Sundance.
I always tend to say film instead of movie. I don't know why.
So wait, you grew up religious. Was that part of it? Like, because I know my parents wouldn't let me listen to some types of music when I was younger.
Not as much as you think. Not so much as like my family just didn't have any taste in music. I grew up listening. My mom was like Alan Jackson, Lori Morgan, and at Christmas time
I had never heard any of
the singer Snowbird.
Freebird? Lynyrd Skynyrd?
No.
Blackbird? The Beatles?
Anne Murray Christmas.
Yep, that's right.
I think that counts as child abuse.
My father did introduce me to like jive music in like the 90s swing revival. He was mad into that, but he also loved country, really shitty modern country at the time.
And okay, I was like, hold on. You just said loves country. And then
Johnny Cash, the literal king of country.
Yeah. Not good country. Bad country. Way down yonder at the Chattahoochee, never knew much the muddy water meant to me. my first introduction to music that wasn't terrible was someone found like an Incubus CD without a case at my church for some reason, like on the floor, and no one knew who owned it. So
are we gonna let that slide, that Incubus counts as not shitty music? We're just gonna blow by that.
Well, Incubus said, fucking rocks.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Early Incubus,
I thought you were gonna say Weird
awesome.
Al, and that would explain the accordion.
It would explain some. That was his canon moment.
I went to an Incubi concert, and it was great.
But and then from there, I still didn't really know music very well until I started working at the dinner theater that I often talk about. And it was there, like, I had no idea what most of the songs we were doing. We did all cover songs and medleys and stuff there. And I learned so much about music and so many artists just by working with those people and having to learn to play them.
Freeman, hold on. I just thought about something. You and I went to a Johnny Cash musical.
Yeah.
Together.
We did, yeah. We did.
And that was on that day that he learned what Johnny Cash was.
Yeah, these new songs are so great.
How long before that did you
Man, know? This Johnny Cash guy's going to blow up.
That kid's got a future.
Yeah. Can't believe they made a musical out of his music already. Yeah. No, I was a late bloomer with the music scene. I really was. I really was.
And your taste has gone nowhere since.
Okay, Freeman, what's your favorite Johnny Cash song?
It has to be a basic option, and I think it's Folsom, the Folsom Blues one.
Folsom Prison Blues, and that's a
Folsom
fair
Prison
call.
Blues, thank you.
Yeah,
it's a great tune. Song. Yeah.
If you ever go to karaoke with me, you'll hear it.
Well, seeing as how we're in a prison right now.
Hey! Ooh. Let's play
the hits. Wow, we fumbled our way into that segue, and that was decent. That was good. Good work, Cam. This is why we hired you. Too bad you've quit.
No,
that's gonna be the last good segue for a while.
Oh, I got this. Prisoner of his parents' bad taste.
Oh, there we go. There's the bad one. There's the shitty one all over again. We're back to square one, everyone.
Yeah. You let the talent quit.
Mama told me never play with guns. Magic missiles.
Speaking of our ring of fire.
That's good. I did have to sing Boy Named Sue, actually, at the dinner theater once, and it was a great time. It's a great time.
And that's our New Year's resolution, banter.
Learn more Johnny Cash. That's the New Year's resolution.
Okay, to any listeners out there who don't know who Johnny Cash is, go fucking listen to it now.
I thought you were gonna say go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. But first, listen to Johnny Cash.
Yes, definitely do so. You deserve it.
And not just his solo stuff. Get Out on the Highwaymen too, because they fucking rule.
Oh yeah, Ghostwriters in the Sky. That fucks.
Get all up in there.
And you know what? While we're at it, listen to some Nine Inch Nails, because I actually like Trent Reznor's version of Hurt.
Oh yeah, I mean
it is
OG
his version.
Yeah.
All right, let's fight. We are in combat against some Dresh Cans with a recently deceased Zebub. I kind of flavor had them jump out into the hallway, two of them in a row, because they just have back-to-back turns. So I'm just going to go ahead and consider one action spent for each. And the one closest to Krukka is going to, let's see.
Going to bring it.
Make up some more rules.
Let me just double check how rule these creatures cool. work.
When not cool.
It is going to shoot a needle from somewhere within its half-constructed body at Krukka for a natural 20.
Oh, that's a good start.
Yikes.
With a 33 to hit, that's going to be 20 piercing and electricity damage.
Okay.
And a second needle is going to come a flying out at you for a 17 hit. Not Heck so no. great on that one. And then the furthest one back is going to run forward and jump into the space of its ally and get into a swarming stance. Remember that one, yeah? And it is also going to shoot a needle at Krukka for a 20 to hit. Not great.
Just a reminder, they have arcane electricity that flow through their body. They're immune to electricity, can shoot needles like we've seen, and they get an attack of opportunity on melee crit fails. And apparently they have a bonus to a bunch of saves, but they also have light blindness.
They do have light blindness. 10 points for note-taking. Go, go. Next up is Glash.
So, no. Tulok will step in here.
Oh, I forgot. A couple of you have been... Who else did... Was it just Tulok, or was it both... No, it was just Tulok who delayed, right? Okay. Tulok, what do you got?
Tulok will spend all three actions arising a skeletal champion from the depths.
Classic.
Right to the never eat soggy wheats west of Krukka.
Very nice. To the west of Krukka. Okay. Skeletal champion.
Oh, hey,
that
buddy.
It's got low health for some reason. Let's just put it back up to full. There you go. All right.
Okay, and the skeletal champion will stride to the north.
Okay, stride to the north towards the two swarming Drishkan.
Away, and will strike out with his longsword.
Okay.
Woo, 5 on the die for a 15 to hit.
Not gonna do it.
That will be that.
Okay, now it's Glash's turn.
Glash will... do his little gnomish scamper 15 foot forward, and then how far away am I? Too far. We'll go ahead and the skeletal champion's in the way.
Glash only got 15 foot speed. It's poor guy.
I know. It's
pitter patter, a little gnome feet.
Is going to move and to the door here. We'll use a sling at the one over here.
Oh,
the Dresh okay. can. Yep, to the Dresh can to the north of the skeletal champion. Okay. 9 on the die for a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
For 3 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, let me just roll to see which one of the two you hit. Okay, and that'll be this guy. Very good.
Very good.
I've still got it.
Oh, that plucky gnome.
Okay, and that's Glash's turn. Next up is the Dresh Can that just took a walloping from Krukka. And let's have it. It's going to just quickly attack with a claw. That's a natural one. And then attack with a second claw. Also not good at 17. And then, let's see, I think I'm going to try and move through your space here, do a tumble through. This is against your...
Reflex DC.
Is it reflex DC? Thank you. 29 versus your reflex DC.
That's a success.
Okay, so this creature is going to squeeze past you and start running to the north.
Krukka is going to follow with no escape.
Okay. Bam, and that is its turn, and we are going to go to the top of the order. with another Dreshkan who is going to pop out of the cell and join the injured friend into a swarming stance. And then swing a claw at Krukka. Miss. 18. And a second claw for a 20. Miss. Bam. Doing terrible over here.
Attack of opportunity?
From who?
Skeletal champion.
For what?
Oh, he did go through a threatened space to get there, to run past away from Krukka.
Oh, yeah, okay, yep. Yeah, you're right. I was like, which square would that
Sorry,
be?
It took me a second.
You knew you could do it, but you didn't know why. That's why Scott's a rules lawyer.
I just have a Malteser in my mouth.
Stop eating on
you
Mike.
You have a tease in your mouth?
And roll your attack roll.
Two on the die for a 12 to hit.
No, not going to do it. Thanks Stank for wasting it. Everyone's time.
Wow.
Lump, you're up.
Lump, seeing this fight happening, is going to go ahead and stride forward 35 feet next to Krukka and attempt to bash this one over the head with their Morningstar.
Okay.
That is a 20 to hit.
20 is a hit.
For 13 points of damage.
Okay, let me see which one you hit of the two. You hit the one that's almost dead, and it's still up. Wicked, though. And that's
your
turn.
That is all three actions.
Okay. Izori, you're up.
Izori will stride into the hallway with her first action, full 25 feet. And she will cast Phase Bolt on the one past, in the swarming stance, past the Skeletal Champion, past Lump. So this reduces the AC bonus by 2 for cover. That's a 21 to hit.
That is a hit.
It'll be 16 points of piercing.
16 piercing. Very good. I figured out which one you've hit. They are still in their stance. Krukka.
Krukka, not loving the swarming stances going on in front of him, is going to blast a 2-action Ring of the Ram directly north.
Okay.
Fortitude save, please.
Ooh, actually, Ring of the Ram. I just want to double check the Ring of the Ram here.
One foe that I can see within 50, 60 feet.
One foe. Okay, so I am going to determine which one you hit. Okay, I've figured it out. Fortitude save. 29. I rolled really well.
Okay, so that is a success, but you will take 7 force damage and be knocked back 5 feet.
Knock back 5 feet. All right, bam.
Yeah, that's why I did the 2-action.
Very nice.
It's an automatic knock back 5 feet. And then,
very good. No longer swarming stance.
Yeah, the one that's directly in front of me is going to get hit with the, well, potentially get hit from a swing from the butchering axe.
Okay.
Duncan.
Yep.
That was amazing tactics.
Thank you. 30 to hit, please.
Yeah, that is a crit.
Oh, good thing it's got so much health left. Another 58 damage.
Jesus, got one hit point left. You want to describe your kill?
Basically just go through it like butter. They're like all that techno garbage just kind of like sticks into the walls as it goes up in this big burst of flames, and then he just stares at the next one. And that's his turn, I believe.
Okay, really good. Next up is one of the northern Dreshkans who is going to start revving its engines. And I need everyone in that cone, which is everyone but Tulok, to roll me a basic reflex save as needles just start spraying out in the cone down the hallway.
And that one, that's a hero.
I would like to make the case for cover.
Because I think cover will affect reflex saves, right? But depends on the type of cover.
It does affect reflex saves, but if this is it a spell or is it an ability?
It's an ability.
So standard cover would be a plus two to reflex saves.
Yeah, but you don't have standard cover. You still at best have lesser.
Okay.
They don't stack cover like that. Lesser cover would be like being sort of next to like a chest high kind of like wall. And then greater cover is like you can't see you at all. And then lesser cover is anything less than that. So these are needles just like spraying in all direction past the shoulders. Like a lot of them are going to hit the things in front, obviously. But, you know, everyone's trying to get out of the way, which means more room to go towards you. Okay, let's see who got what. Skeletal Champion?
Rolled real well. 24.
Okay, you are going to take 7 damage. This is piercing and electric, because that is a success.
Copy.
Let's go with Lump. What'd you get?
29.
29, so that's also 7 damage. Krukka, you hero pointed, I heard?
Hero pointed from an at 1 to a 28.
Okay, that is going to be 7 as well. Izori?
21.
That's a meat to beat, 7 damage. And Glash?
Glash got a 6 for a 15.
That is a fail, 15 damage to Glash. Next up is the other one in that swarming stance. It's going to do the exact same thing. Everyone roll again.
Rude.
20.
Okay, Krukka, take 12 damage.
You take 12.
Lump?
Lump rolled a 7 for a 19.
Also 12 damage. Skeletal Champion?
Rolled a 20 fucking 8.
All right, 6 damage. Glash?
Rolled an 11 this time. Or sorry, rolled a 2 for an 11.
That's going to be 24 damage because it's a critical fail.
Ouchies.
And Zori?
32.
Oh.
Critical success, no damage. Very good. Next up is Tulak, the way in the back. Needles just flying down this hallway, but landing short of the exit where you're at.
I want to be like a massive teacher. We had homework, but Scott, did you roll that flat check for your summon undead for stupefy?
Ooh, no, I didn't.
You might be too far for givesies backsies at this point, but
natural 20.
Oh. Nailed it.
He really wants to be here, that skeletal champion.
Yeah.
Okay. Tulak will cast guidance on Izori and shouting down the hall at any one of these fucking dreshkens that will listen.
Says,
you foul beasts.
30 foot range.
It's 30 feet, yeah.
Never mind. Never you mind.
Watch who you're calling a foul beast.
It's intro banter. Have you ever been outnumbered?
Well, 2 seconds, 2 seconds, 2 seconds. Why is everything 30 feet?
That's just the general range, but you could just move 25 feet from here and then do it.
You do know that Scott hates to be anywhere near the danger, right?
How do you think he's just giving options? Been the longest lasting member of the this, 30. Mm.
Tulak walks 15 feet forward to behind Izori. And then will sustain the skeletal champion.
Okay. Guidance, move up, sustain. Skeletal champion.
OA.
Take your actions.
Skeletal champion strikes out with the longsword at the Dreshkan swarm to the north.
Okay.
25 to hit.
That is a hit.
10 points of slashing damage.
Okay. Cool.
Raises its shield.
Raises its shield. Okay. Glash.
Glash is going to go ahead and produce flame, rubbing his hands together faster and faster till a small flame appears and shouts, "Catch fire, fiend!" and will attack the Dreshkin to the north of Krukka. That will be an 18 on the die for a 32.
Even if we put in lesser cover, that is a crit.
Right. So that's going to be 24 points of damage, and you have persistent fire damage now.
Oh, very nice. How much persistent?
3d4 persistent damage.
Oh, wow.
And then we'll do his creepy little gnome dance.
Okay. Glash really needs a single action option.
Yeah, I want to aid, but like I'm too far away.
What about your sling? You could do the sling again, no?
That's true. I could try the sling at the map 5. We'll go ahead and...
What do you got to lose? A rock?
23 to hit, which
that
I
hits.
Know will hit for 1 point of damage, listeners.
1 damage, there you go. Hey, took it away. One glass.
Chip damage.
All right.
Chip,
top of the
chip,
order.
Chipping away.
Is the Dresh can that you just fucked up a bit, which is going to, let me just double check a thing here, is going to step backwards. One step. And gonna go ahead and is going to shoot a needle at Krukka. Two needles, 23 and 24 to hit.
No and no.
No and no. Oh, sorry, 26. Sorry, 26 on the second.
Okay, that last one will hit.
Okay. 9 piercing and electricity lump.
Lump is going to see the hole and fill a hole, moving there, and is going to just see the hurt, the fire spreading over this creature, and bring down their Morning Star for a 25 to hit for 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, 25 bludgeoning damage. Oh, I didn't take my persistent fire, which was... 4 damage.
Awful
the
rules,
recovery
but,
check failed.
Okay, and then for my last action, go ahead and just give it a trip. This will be at minus 5, so a 19 will not do it. Rolled very poorly, rolled a 5.
Against my what?
Reflex.
Oh, no, yeah. Never mind. Okay, Azori. Things are at a near standstill, but you're doing all right as a group.
The one directly in front of the skeletal champion, she will just kind of peek out from behind it and attempt a demoralize.
Okay.
I don't know if they speak common languages.
You would, I guess, give it. Assuming you were caught up to speed... you would know that this thing speaks undercommon.
Okay, so she will switch to undercommon.
And you get a plus one. Don't forget guidance.
I'm going to use the guidance on the next roll.
Copy.
Okay, so with without the linguistic penalty, that's a 33.
Oof. Yeah, against my will DC, that is a crit.
Okay, you are frightened too.
Okay.
As she whips the rapier around, she's just spinning it around, laughing to herself, and it's collecting this gilded energy that she releases with her next two actions at a phase bolt.
Nice.
Same target, and she will use the guidance on this one. That is a 32 to hit.
That's a crit.
Whoa, what a turn!
That'll be 24 points of piercing.
Bam, good old hit.
Have we heard Azori cackle yet?
Still working on it. And I haven't cast it yet.
I haven't used cackle yet, yeah.
yeah, but I mean just like for funsies. Flavor
yeah,
cack.
Yeah.
Not
flavor cack. Flavor cack.
Oh, God.
Krukka, you're up.
Okay. Step to the north. Swing to the northwest.
All right.
36 to hit.
Crit.
56
Jesus
damage.
Jesus.
Holy crap.
Krukka is just a fucking, like,
you have
eviscerator.
Just a damage machine.
Fucking freight train.
Walking.
You've killed one of them in the swarming stance.
Okay. I guess swing with a map minus 5. Nat 1. It had to happen eventually.
Natural 1. Defensive needle. As you critically fail on a striking, it shoots a needle at you for a 16 hit. how anticlimactic.
Listeners at home, you didn't get to see Freeman's face go from very happy to very sad very quickly.
Yeah.
How sweet it was.
Dreshkan is going to step northeast to swarm with its friend and will shoot a needle? No, it'll claw at Lump twice and miss twice with shitty rolls. Tulak, you're up.
Tulak is going to continue into the room to within 30 feet of the final Dreshkan and will now attempt to intimidate it. And in... Do I? Oh, yeah, I speak Infernal. Dachnoraknanak! And says some shit that's pretty badass. I'm not going to lie.
I understood it. Lump speaks Infernal. Like, that was... Whew.
I know. It was pretty fucking spicy.
I didn't know you could describe yogurt that way.
Brought his mother into it. Damn.
Yeah. God. And just like, because I'm so fucking basic, I just hit the roll for telekinetic projectile. Because that's what I do.
Your intimidate?
But no, there's the intimidate. 29.
29. Let me just double check something here. Oh, yeah. Okay. 29 against my will DC is going to be success.
Fuck yeah.
Let me just determine which one you intimidated. Okay. Beautiful. And then what? You stepped up. You intimidate.
Sustain. And then the skeletal champion marches to the north and then to the east, going into flanking position with Lump.
Okay.
And we'll strike out with the long sword. 22 to hit, baby.
That hits.
Max damage, 12 points of slashing damage.
Nice. That's all right. Glash.
Glash is going to go ahead. Scamper up 15 feet. Do a little tee as he rubs his hands together and produces flame. 28 to hit for 14 points of fire damage.
Okay.
I like how Glash seems more and more like the kind of gnome that would bake cookies in a tree or something.
Good bake baby in a tree.
Ah,
yeah. Pretty sweet. Ooh. Top of round four, the Dreshkan that is on fire is going to launch, you guessed it, a needle spray. Everyone but the Skeletal Champion and Azori roll me a reflex save.
21.
21 is a success. You will take 5 damage. Lump?
Lump also rolled a 21.
Okay, 5 damage. Tulak?
22!
5 damage. Glash?
15.
11 damage. Okay, and next up is Lump. Needles just everywhere. Where are all these needles coming from?
Lump swings the Morningstar in front of their chest, knocking the needles out before...
That's one action.
Okay, that's fair.
No. Flavor action.
I just won't do flavor anymore, Freeman. It's fine. We can go there. It's
yeah,
fine.
Could you just leave the flavor out of this? Come on. Will. We're wasting time here.
I rolled a 13 for a 30 against their off-guard AC.
Lovely. Before we calculate that, let me just... to my precision fire, because I'm really bad at that as well. 8 fire, still failed. Okay, and now you are, swinging for a 30 against off guard. That's going to be a crit. Let me determine which one you're hitting. okay, go ahead. Roll it up. Crit damage.
Okay. 26 points of damage.
Okay, you kill the one that's on fire.
Damn it. For flavor, when I crit with a Morningstar, I can move it 10 feet, so it ends up behind the Skeletal Champion.
But will it move through summon space?
It's, whatever. It's for flavor. And
the
then
electronic components land behind the Skeletal Champion. The organic components land on the Skeletal Champion.
And the Skeletal Champion takes yuck damage.
The Skeletal Champion also had a question real quick. Are these...
Okay, only if you do it in a Skeletal Champion voice.
Are these needles a ranged attack?
They're a conal attack, so they affect melee and range, so I don't think it really counts as a ranged attack.
Asking for the purpose of AOO.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it has the manipulate trait. It just says activity on it. So, I think it's a no.
Is activity a trait in this game now?
I don't know why it's that. It's the only thing that's on there. Yeah, it's just an activity. It's a 3-action move, and that's it.
All right. Well, I'm then going to raise a shield. And then for my third action, I'm going to intimidate the creature. Or is this one still feared? This one is frightened. Okay, never mind.
Still a feared, yes.
Still a feared. Map minus 5. We're going to get a 26 to hit for 15 points of damage.
15 points of damage. Okay, very good.
And that is my turn.
That's it. Zori, one last trash can. It is still scared, and it's looking rough.
Yeah, she'll take a 5-foot step forward and then just go back to the well and cast a bolt made of phase.
Ah, yes.
The 28 to hit.
That's a hit.
16 points of piercing.
And you kill it.
Hey!
This lump is just smashing this thing, and this phase bolt just zooms in right past them and just takes this thing out. And combat done. Very good.
Very good.
Not too... You say more, please?
Next door. Lump just pushes forward like, bam! Nope. No stopping.
Everyone's looking pretty good except for Glash. Glash took a few to the chin on that one.
Yeah, that crit fail didn't help. Lump will ask everyone to gather around. Does Krukka, would you mind searching the rooms, or do you need help? Are you injured as well?
Oh, I will. I'll recuperate a bit while I check out the masonry. It looks quite swell down here. I mean, he's down 42.
Well, stick with me for just a moment for 10 minutes while I treat your wounds, and then you can do that while I take care of myself.
He heals 1 HP per minute.
Okay. Well,
yeah, Izori doesn't need healing. She's also got the compass, so she'll be back to full health.
Yeah, so while you're doing Glash, Krukka can just start thoroughly searching the rooms.
As he do. Okay, take a look around. Basically, all these rooms kind of offshoot from the hallway. They're filled with stacks of crates and barrels and quivers full of basic arrows. You can see barrels of pitch, jugs of lantern oil, fuse cord, flint and steel, hundreds of arrows. Sufficient supply to supplies to basically destroy and attack a small village. You actually come across where the Zebub was. There looks like there was like a few pieces of parchment that look like they've been taking inventory of all these things, but like a checklist upon a checklist upon a checklist of all the same things. They're just double checking the same inventory over and over and over. Occasionally a few things are added to it, but nothing of import. The only thing that really stands out is the southern door, which is in fact locked.
Nice. He's making a list and he's checking it twice.
We're out of season. We're out of season.
Sorry, southern door.
Tulok is going to turn to Lump while this is going down and say, Lump, could you give me a small amount of healing?
Of course. And you can just be lumped in with one of...
Lumped in. So does the dead...
Duffy's like...
Does the dead Zebub have a key to the door on his body, perhaps?
Oh, that's a good question. You check?
Yeah.
Not only does he have a key, but one of the pendants with the...
Zori's on her knees, hammer in place, ready to pick this lock.
Krukka just walks up with the key. Try this.
This may work better.
It unlocks the door, opens it up. Easy peasy. And you get in there, you start rooting around, and there is definitely some more valuable stuff in here. There is a moderate alchemist fire you find right away. And there is... You find an arrow that is coated in gritty black soot. that is magical. You find there's three arrows that have mystic patterns along its shaft and head. And there is a bottle containing a blood red liquid, but decidedly not the familiar potion of healing.
I'd like to do a check on that blood red liquid.
Sure.
Izori will aid.
Will be a magic
it's
check in this
be
case.
Crafting because of crafter's some kind. Appraisal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I do not aid with a 14.
31 on the crafting.
31 is good. In fact, I was gonna give you I think this is somewhat related to you. Oh, no, it's close, but it's not quite on the same point for Krekka. But this is a Red Dragon's Breath Potion. I believe Krekka's bloodline is of the Gold Dragon.
It is.
But this is still related to fire. So the liquid contains blood from a Red Dragon, and for 1 hour after you imbibe the concoction, you can unleash a Red Dragon's Breath weapon. The potency of the breath depends on the potion's type. This is a young dragon and is based on the dragon whose blood is in the potion, of course. Exhaling dragon breath uses a single action. You create a 15-foot cone. You deal 46 fire damage, basic reflex save, DC 23. And after you do this, you can't use it again for 1d4 rounds.
Neat.
That is okay. So disgustingly good.
So he's going to offer it around.
Oh, sorry. There are three of these. Sorry.
What?
Damn. Awesome.
For a single action, you just single bleh, action. And then
for
1 hour
rounds. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Would anyone
pretty
like
awesome.
One?
Pretty freaking awesome. Yeah.
I mean, they seem pretty useful, but they're no gold dragon breath.
Izori will happily take one.
I do feel a little peculiar about taking an evil dragon. Well, I don't know if the remaster will be out at this point. Maybe they won't be evil anymore, but.
Yeah, that's how I understood it. Evil dragon versus good dragon.
Just for fun, I double checked what the gold dragon version would be, and it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but gold.
Way better.
Okay, we'll call one of them gold.
But looking at the piece that Krekka picked up, would you like me to carry that, or do you want to keep them separated for now? Or
all means, and he'll give it over.
And Lump will peel off the flesh of their arm and drop it in next to the other fragment before closing it back up, and you hear...
Yucky!
I love it.
Tulok turns towards Krekka and just says, I won't be needing one of those potions. I have my minions to fight on the front lines for me. And he kind of gestures towards the skeletal champion as it crumples. Spell ending.
That's okay, Tulok. Your breath is bad enough.
You spit bars that are fire enough.
Lump thinks that you're motioning to them at first and is like, oh.
All right. So there's, did we divvy all those up?
Did I get one?
Here, there's two more in the thing here. So I'm gonna, you see them? Okay.
Yeah, I see it. I
took one. Can she do a check on one of the ammunition?
And there's one more potion also dragging into the sash. So that's everyone.
I'll hang
can.
It for now just because I have... Oh, you're putting in the part of loot. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. There was actually 10 alchemist fire here. I
Holy shit.
10?
I always forget to look at the quantity.
Oh,
yeah, moderate alchemist fire. There's 10 of them. So again, in the stash, but make sure you claim them, please. So you're looking at the arrows here? Do you want to do the single black set one or the three... mystic one.
Are they arrows or are they...
arrows. Let me just double...
Yeah, she'll do the black soot one.
Yeah, it should be arrows, yeah. Black soot one. Yeah, you can roll me whatever you like. Whatever please you.
Society?
No, magical. Magical options.
It's no cultism. It'll be a 19.
Afraid not.
Tulok is peeking over her shoulder and rolls a 33.
Just for fun. Roll me a sailing lore.
Oh, meow.
21.
Yeah, why not? I feel like Azori goes to the magical, but then it goes like, you know what? I've seen this before, but because I've been on the receiving end on the high seas of an explosive arrow.
Oh, I saw one of these in Davy Jones' locker.
Yeah, I imagine her just like tasting it. And like, oh, that's gunpowder.
Yeah, right. is a piece of ammunition that is coated in gruddy black soot. When activated, which is a single action, you fire it off, and the missile explodes in a 10-foot burst where it lands, dealing 66 fire damage, including the target that you hit for a DC 25 basic reflex.
Good thing we got so many regular bow users.
I keep trying to make an archer, but I keep getting told it's a bad idea.
In a dungeon, perhaps.
Who told you that?
All the 10-foot hallways?
Yeah.
Like fish in a barrel.
We do have a large composite longbow and a composite shortbow in the party, so it would be usable. But I guess Azori could use it. Her dex is pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, as long as she's trained in the appropriate, you know, Sibler Marshall for the whatever weapon. I mean, you could still use it untrained, just not nearly as good.
Yeah.
You want to check the other arrows?
She's trained all day. Yeah, she'll check the other arrows.
You're just going to take the level 9 Ranger Diep?
I mean, she's trained in everything from the swashbuckler.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
She does swashbuckles.
It's a 17, because she is rolling rocks today.
Hey, you're doing pretty good with those face bolts.
That was a 4. No,
I'm afraid you don't know what this one is, though.
5. Yeah, okay.
Can I roll in that 33 I already rolled?
I knew you were going to ask that. I knew it. Yeah, why not? I'll just roll it over.
Give me an inch. Give me an inch.
This is spell strike ammunition type 3. Also calling this an arrow. Basically, you can activate spell strike ammunition by casting a spell into the ammunition. The spell must be of a level the ammunition can hold, and the spell must be able to target a creature other than the caster. A creature hit by the activated spell strike ammunition is targeted by the spell. If the creature isn't a valid target for the spell is lost. The ammunition affects only the target hit, even if the spell would normally affect more than one target. So you can basically 2-action cast a spell into this thing and then 1-action fire it off. And you're effectively doing a little bit of a magus thing.
I was going to say, it's like a ranged magus. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, you could you can actually kind of put like an area of effect spell onto that, like a fireball, but it only affects a single target. So on and so forth. So you get 3 of those. Maximum spell level 3.
And you clarified earlier that these were in fact arrows, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I was rolling with it. It doesn't actually specify here, I don't think. Was there something else you were hoping they would be?
Bolts.
Bolts? Oh, because you have a crossbow?
Yeah, she's Azori has a hand crossbow.
I'm just checking the journal entry here. Yeah, they're arrows. Going with the adventure.
As y'all finish identifying, you see Lump just suddenly go still and turn to face the doors to the north and start walking towards the doors.
Yeah, correct. I will follow him up. What is it, Lump?
There are 2 creatures on the other side of the door.
How long should they stay alive for?
Ideally less than 18 seconds.
I think that's doable.
Is everyone patched up?
Tulok nods.
And once again, before I kick open this door, is there anybody in here that I shouldn't just drop? Do we want to talk to them first, perhaps gain some information?
Shoot first, ask questions later.
Say less. and Lump will kick open the door.
You have motion sense, is that right, Lump?
Yeah.
Roll me a perception check.
Okie dokie. Blind or to you?
Just...
I rolled it blind. There you go.
Okay. You feel like you might recognize the particular movements of one of the creatures in here as an Aranis devil that you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as you get close to the door to confirm that for you, you can hear ting, 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 ting.
This is Barkumbach. He's forging weapons. And you see a face of worry, as best you can maybe tell, given how fucked up Lump's face is, and they hesitate to open the door for a moment.
So Tulok turns to them and says, "Should we be worried? Is this something we should prepare for?"
"He is a Hellforge smith."
Tulok would like to roll to know what that is so he doesn't look like a moron.
It'll be religion.
12.
You look like a moron.
Lump, I'm unfamiliar with this terminology. What is that?
I'm gonna roll a blind GM roll to see what I know beyond having heard them say that.
All right. Lump, you know that a Hellforge smith can obviously create Hellforged weapons, which are weapons that are more powerful in the hands of a devil. You guys have encountered Hellforged weapons already. In fact, you had you got the glaive from one of the Barbazus, it doesn't have the function for you. But if you are in fact a devil, it gains the flaming rune to it while it's being wielded. However, Lump, you also know that Barkumbach is unhappy with their current role and impatient, as devils go anyway, given how long they live, which is forever.
We'll see about that.
That they are stuck basically forging non-Hellforge weapons right now. Mundane weapons, which kind of annoys Barkumbach because it's a waste of his talents.
So, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Hellforged weaponry, but in the hands of devils, they typically gain the ability to cause fire damage as well. I know that Barkumbach is a little bit frustrated with his role down here. He would prefer to make those weapons versus the mundane they have him set on because, well, Hellforged weapons don't do much in the hands of flesh warps. As they look down at their hand, and it shifts between a longsword, a morning star, a whip, a rapier, a dagger, before settling on the morning star.
Tulok looks to Lump and says to them, "Do you think perhaps this creature could be swayed to not attack us? We spoke with a devil higher up here who we found their contract and released them from it. Is this something you think we could do with this creature?"
Lump stares pensively for a moment. "I know that they like to make deals, but I believe it is worth a try."
"Then we shall try." And Tulok steps forward.
Glash will step up behind Tulok. His little gnome feet tap.
Izori closes, adjusting her gloves, repositioning the rapier on herself, just like really trying to get into that captain motif if that's the direction we're going. She has a pretty solid diplomacy and intimidation.
What are you at?
Diplomacy is 12, intimidation is 14.
Nice. Okay, I got a 14, 16. So
Kruk is just waiting for the cue to hit.
Let's let's do this together and aid each other.
Yeah, I can also lie to creatures using diplomacy as well. So I don't have to speak the truth.
That's cool.
That's fucking dope.
It was my 8th level skill feat called Half Truths.
I love it.
Neat. Lump will swallow with both mouths and push open the door.
Okay. You push the door open, this big creak, and you can see this chamber with charred black walls or chains that hang from a 20-foot tall ceiling. It's a suspending shelves holding tools and metal ingots. A forge fills an alcove in the north. Its mouth yawns open, filled with jagged teeth like those of a great beast. And a blazing fire roars inside. Between the beast forge's horns, a hole in the ceiling captures the smoke belching from its nostrils. An anvil rests near the forge. In the west, there is a trough of sooty water pushed up against the western wall, and weapon racks flank the double door along the southern wall. You see Barkum Buck, this badass-looking devil.
Oh, damn.
Tink. Tink.
Look at the veins.
Tink.
Vascularity.
Yeah. Just this humanoid winged creature in, like, wicked armor. This fiery hammer in his hand, and he doesn't even budge. He just continues his work on the weapon. You can see a Barbazu in the room as well, next to the anvil, who just, like, you know, quickly pulls the glaive up, ready to fight. And then, like, spies Lump and looks around and then looks to Barkum Buck, who hasn't paid attention. And so he just puts the bottom of the glaive back on the floor and kind of leans on it and just waits. Tink. Tink.
Yo, his tink. Boots look like Nazgul fucking armor boots.
Yeah, they really do,
it
yeah.
It kind of just looks like if a yoked Jean-Luc Picard played Thor.
Oh my god.
Evil Thor, yeah, for sure.
It really does, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, listeners, like, imagine just like a beautiful fallen angel to like black wings. Yeah. Like yeah. Fiery glowing hot hammer versus lightning and his
glowing yellow eyes. Yeah. Bald head with just like this like metal gothic crown on.
Sorry, what is the other creature in the room?
Another Barbazu.
Okay, and also,
this time, definitely wielding a Hellforged glaive.
Shout out Narky, because this room looks badass as
it's
fuck.
It's sick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The forge so is fucking tight. It's like a ram, almost like a ram bull head from
the
top.
Yeah, like big ram horns with on horns, it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what red dragons look like in Pathfinder.
Oh, really?
With
the big curled horns?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, they do have horns. Anyways.
Yeah, Barkum Buck like taps a few more times, you know, picks up this long sword and just like puts it in the quenching bath. And then walks over to one of the weapon racks and just gently places it on, still not even paying it, not looking at you. And then walks back to his anvil and just deep breath. And then finally turns and looks up at you all. He's so emo. He's just like, so, Lump.
Lump takes a knee.
Finally found the courage to rebel. I suppose finding some friends helps conjure such a courage. Yeah, and suddenly your new companion is on a knee in front of this dude.
Izori uses her thumb to push her rapier just a little bit out of the sheath at this point.
It did. This doesn't need to come to blows.
You know my stance, Lump. I am in service to Eurevian. And I will see that through. As contracts go.
You can see this, like, emphasis on contract. This sort of squinting of Barkenbuck's eyes as he continues to only look at Lump.
What you're doing here doesn't bother me so much. But I still must do what Eurevian requires. Should that requirement change from the current standard.
So Tulok steps from behind Krakka into the room.
Lump stiffens.
Pleasure to meet you. My name is Tulok, and we have been coming down through the Abomination Vaults. We met one like your friend here named Karlok. He was trapped in the prison above. Hundreds of years with nothing happening to him because of a contract he made. However, we freed him from that contract. Perhaps you might like the same. You don't seem to be interested in your work. Thousands of years may pass with you doing the same. Karlok's contract, there was a loophole that he did not know about, as he had not had the chance to read it. You never know what will be in yours. Maybe we can work something out.
And prying his eyes from a Lump after you're finished, finally looks at you.
And I would like to roll a diplomacy to attempt to make an impression.
Lump shudders as the gaze leaves.
Okay. Roll me a diplomacy.
Fuck. It's so middling. It was a 10 for a 24.
Yep.
I'm going to... Wait. Cam, did you say earlier that I do or don't get to know?
Rules as written, you get to know if it succeeds or not. I don't know if Freeman has been playing it that way.
I don't think we have been.
We're pretty fast and loose with these, yeah.
So I think I'm going to re-roll that. Come on, baby. Don't go fucking lower.
Ah! 9 on the die for 23.
Barkovac turning his eyes on you and says,
I almost want to appreciate your effort to educate me, an Aranis, a devil, on contracts. I've heard of this Karlok, and he has nothing to do with me, mine, and my ilk. His contract was with Belcora herself, whereas mine is with Eurevian. Quite simply. What makes you think I would want out of my contract? Yes, I am not being put to the best use I can. I have no issue seeing my contract through.
We intend to see the owner of your contracts put into the ground or banished back to where they came.
And why is that? Has this Eurevian done you harm? Wrong of some kind?
She smiles a very sad smile. They have. They have done me great harm and disservice. And their allyship with Belcora is enough of a reason for me.
While I will take you at your word, I fail to see how you would be even a blip on any sort of map for your
reason. I wouldn't be.
If he's done you wrong, surely it was indirectly. Not that your conflict with him is any concern of mine. that is.
Directly or not, we all pay for our deeds some way.
Isn't that the way of the great beyond? And the river of souls.
It is. And I must agree with my traveling partner. For many wrongs have been done. And if Eurevian stands in our way, then he must go.
And what is your way? Where is you plan on bringing my lump?
Down. And down. And down. All the way to the evil chapel in the bottom.
I see. Well, then you will need to remove Eurevian, because there is no way down until the barrier is gone. And it is intrinsically tied to him, to his life essence.
We are collecting pieces. Pieces of the amulet.
Ah, you seek past the door, then I get it. And you would like mine.
And he reaches into underneath the breastplate and pulls out one of the fragments. Kind of lets it dangle on his chest.
Why should I give it to you?
Because everyone gets what they want. We get Eurevian. You get to put your skills to true use for you and yours, as opposed to this mundane garbage I see spewed about. There is no magic here, except in you. Think of it as a trade, as opposed to a gift.
He begins to walk over towards Tulak a little bit and then veers off and walks up to Lump, who is, I presume, still on one knee.
Lump, when they heard Tulak say that we intend to take them down with us, casts kind of a sidelong glance, and as Barkumbuck stands before them, they stare up at them defiantly as they slowly raise to their feet. I want to go with them. I don't want to have to come to blows with you. We could make another deal, but I will get to the bottom to help my new comrades. One way or another.
Kind of looking over everyone, he says,
I admit, you are clever enough to try and use the mundanity of my work as some sort of leverage. But understand that your short, petty, insignificant little mortal lives do not give you the perspective of a devil. However, I am contracted to Eurevian. He is contracted to Belcora. What his role plays and how it turns out is of little consequence to me. Only my contract is. My contract does not stipulate that I can't enjoy what you might do. That I cannot sit idly by and watch.
And he reaches for the pendant around his neck and pulls it off and reaches towards Lump.
Lump opens their arm to show the other two pieces and holds it out to him.
And he just takes the pendant and puts it around Lump's head.
Perhaps this will be entertaining. Or perhaps you'll just all be killed. In the meantime, I will be here. And he just turns around and walks back to his anvil. The Barbazu, kind of like half leaning, half ready, pretty obvious confused look on his face, but doesn't say anything.
Tulok backs out of the room and flips off the Barbazu on the way out.
Kreka slowly closes the door and lets out the breath he'd been holding since the blacksmith started moving.
Izori lets her rapier slide back in the sheath and just...
Nice.
I think I could get rather used to this.
Lump wipes away like a big soggy tear from the corner of their eye and lifts the amulet off, puts it into their arm, and closes it back up.
As they head south away from the door, Tulok turns to Lump and says, "Did you have an agreement with them?"
I was in a dark place after they turned me into this. I may have said and done some things that I will regret. But for now, I am with you.
Lump, we all do and say things that we come to regret. The longer you live, the more opportunity there is for it. But you may want to tell us, in case it's something that might run afoul of our plans, or you may be held in a situation where you can't fight it. If you are willing, I think we'd like to know. If you are not, perhaps another day.
For now, Master Tulok, it is a tool that I can use to benefit us, and I would not let it go so easily, and it is also my burden to bear. So I will share this with you eventually, but now is not the time.
And Tulok kind of bows his head and moves forward.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Cam, Lump has yet to use the power of this, right?
Correct.
Scott gets a hero point.
I don't know what for, but I'll take it.
Does he?
I think he fucking earned it for that role play with the devil. I was lost for a second.
All right, you can have a James point. Why not?
Every three of those is one hero point.
It might be negative one. I think I'm more of an antagonist than a hero.
An anti-hero point.
Kreka, there's something to the north of this door. I believe it is time for Team Crump.
Team Lucka, go.
Okay, sorry. Just for the listeners, real quick. The party has gone back out into the main hall and is now heading to the eastern side. It's pretty much the same deal. There's two double doors to the north and to the south. There's a single door to the east. And in fact, it's worth mentioning that the single door it's basically got a what's it called? It's got a thing. It's got like a sliding grate
viewing hole
on the door, yeah, that you can like slide open to look in. There is a note on the door. It is written in three different languages. It's written in Common, Undercommon, and Infernal, and it says each time, "Do not disturb if you value your limbs."
Good advice.
Lump looks down at their limbs.
We should have just opened this door.
And the grate, the sliding grate is closed, just so you know. Oh, the map might show otherwise.
What's the password? It's
closed.
New England clam chowder. Is that the red or the white?
What?
Ah, I can never remember that.
Don't worry about it.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
More of a When Nature Calls guy myself.
Typical.
So you have the all these doors. What do you want to do? What's the next step?
Lay boots to the northernmost doors, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, Team Crump.
Team Lucca.
Team Lucca.
Right. You get yourselves lined up to go to the doors of the north. And just as you're kind of getting ready to barge in, one of the doors of the south just goes and opens.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was just about to say that that's kind of between that other room where that that wall.
Right. Yeah. The weird wall in the stasis room. It just eeks open and you just hear this little voice. Psst, psst. This way.
Yeah, kill it.
Glash goes, well, okay. Walks in.
Glash right by the door. The door is it's only slightly ajar, just a little bit. It hasn't like opened itself up the whole way. But you hear this little voice come out the back. Psst. In here. Quick.
Do you like detect magic?
Izori draws a rapier.
Yeah, you detect magic, but you would imagine it's definitely that that wall on the other end, because if you peek in, you can see that it's definitely transparent from this side.
Tulok will cast detect magic again, excluding the wall.
And you don't detect any particular items.
Okay.
Or objects of magic.
Copy that.
Or any spells.
He opens the door.
Cracking the door, and you actually see nothing. You see a tall chamber, but 30 feet high, transparent stone at the southern wall, which leads into the vast room with all the transparent pillars and the catwalk, and that's it. There's some broken furniture on the floor. And you just hear, quick, come in, close the door. I don't want to be caught talking to you. You'll get us all tortured. Quick.
That sounds like a trap.
A lump will push in.
Izori checks for traps.
Lump pushes in and Izori checking for traps. You don't spot anything. The lump, you can sense the movement on the ceiling or near the top of the room. And it's kind of moving around to one spot and then quickly to another. But it's quite silent, but you can sense it. Quick, quick, all of you. What are you waiting for?
Tulok rolls a perception for a sense motive as he enters. I rolled blindly there.
It's not much to go on. You just hear this voice. You're suspicious as all hell, but you can't tell if it's good or not. But it's just like, what are you doing? Quick.
Okay, they all move in and close the doors behind them. Speak, creature, and show yourself. We can be trusted. You've seen us.
You just hear, surface dwellers.
Glad to see you. You're taking down Eurevian, aren't you? Nasty devil. Bad business keeping him around. Yep, yep, yep. But how about we leave each other alone and pretend we never saw each other? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
We still haven't seen you.
We can do that. We've done that for a few creatures on our way down. Not many. In fact, most we've killed. But if you'd like to stay alive, we can work something out.
Oh, I'd like to stay alive, all right. Dangerous being on this plane. We'd like to make it back home. What are you going to do?
Who are you? What can you offer us?
My name is Shek. I have information. Lots of information. What are you going to do with it?
We plan to kill Eurevian and continue moving downwards.
Roll me diplomacy.
I rolled that blind.
And suddenly, up on the ceiling, this little winged creature just snaps into existence.
It's like Tinkerbell went to hell.
A tiny little winged horned creature. And she says,
"My name is Shek. And I would like to see all of this be done. It's time. And I tire of my role and my job. Oh, hello, Lump. Nice to see you again."
And that's what we're going to call it.
Stemming the Tide is an actual play podcast of the Adventure Path Abomination Vaults and is produced by the Uncharted North Network. Stemming the Tide uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc., used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Stemming the Tide is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. Music is composed by Will Savino and artwork by Greyhood. Stemming the Tide is recorded remotely using Foundry Virtual Tabletop. If you wish to connect with us or support this project and projects to come, we can be found at unchartednorth.ca, patreon.com/unchartednorth, and on all major social media platforms. Links to all credits can be found in the episode description and our website. Thanks for tuning in.